We apologize for those technical difficulties yesterday. Hope we don't run into any of them today. Jared manned up, said it was on his end. It was on his computer. So hopefully, we broke right down right in the middle of that stuff yesterday because, I don't know, man, the devil didn't want that word to go out. I don't know what it was. We were talking about some powerful stuff yesterday, some stuff that if we'd ever get our eyes open and understand, if the masses would ever become denumbed, if our brains would ever begin to think again, if we would ever be able to function and take logic and apply it, we could upset the apple cart, couldn't we? We could block out that old New World Order and their desire to conquer the world. It goes all the way back to Beelzebub. I'm going to show you that here in a second. Wrote a commentary today. It's posted at newswithyous.com. Somebody's microphone's open. I can hear a little talking. I'm not complaining. It just distracts me. A commentary posted at newswithyous.com today and several other websites, and it's entitled "Let's Make the Church Great Again." No, that's not what's titled. Yeah, let's not let a crisis go to waste. And it's an appeal not only for funds, but it's an appeal for people to get down in Texas and help. You know, I had a Dale Socia created a video yesterday, and I spoke to Chris Keys yesterday. Chris Keys was the guy who remembered the story. That originally went down, got in the boat, and was rescued people. He's still down there. Chris Keys is still down there, and they're feeding people nightly. They're having church service nightly. They're laboring to help people. Rusty Thomas showed up with them down there. And so I sent out an appeal today. Would you please get off of your butt and go join them? Would you please get off of your butt? Would you please stop sending people to Guatemala and Haiti? Would you please stop it? How about a missions trip to Rockport? How about a missions trip to Beaumont? By the way, I don't know if you saw this. Hurricane Irma has now circled on land and is dumping all kinds of water. Where? Yeah, right on Beaumont, right where that other hurricane came through, except now it's a land hurricane. It came across the land. It's raining on top of it. Folks, come on. You want your faith to grow? You really want your faith to grow? How about putting feet to your faith? And right where you live, organize a missions trip. Find 10 guys, 5 guys in your church who want to go down to Texas and make a difference for other people. And I compared in that the idea that Rahm Emanuel came up with the slogan, never let a crisis go to waste. We got a crisis. We have a crisis. We have a crisis in Florida. We have a crisis in Texas. And by the way, we have a crisis out west with all the wildfires going. There are crises everywhere, everywhere. We become so dependent. Give your money to the Red Cross. Give your money. We become so dependent that sometimes it's easier just to give them the money. Now, I'm not being critical of those of you giving money because thank God you're giving money. And we're spending the money. And we're getting it to getting it down to Chris Keys and those guys that are working. And we have a group that's going to go down here next weekend, and we're going to about 30 of us, maybe more, maybe even more than that. Sarge, hate to drop that one on you. Heard, got some information last night. We're going to go down and we're going to be boots on the ground. Now, you tell me, right, you listen to this show right now. You can't plan out 4 weeks, 3 weeks, say, you know what? I'm going to take off November 10, 11, and 12, or whatever it would be, October 10, 11, and 12, and we're going to go down there. We're going to go on a missions trip. And how about youth missions trips? How about and see, one of the things that's killing us here in America, I don't know if you know this, the Dream Act, right? The DACA, whatever that thing is, the Dream Act. Well, heck, I'd be a dreamer too if everybody was giving me everything. Do you understand that those who are not even citizens of America are stealing out of the mouth of your children? Your children don't get free education. But the illegals get free education. Why is it that we in America are so intent on taking care of the world and neglecting ourselves? What if we pulled back $500 million a year from Planned Parenthood and went to free education, college education? Ooh, that's scary. Don't do that. But you get my point. Why are we always taking care of the stranger? Can I tell you why we're taking care of the stranger? It's exactly what we began to talk about yesterday with Margaret Sanger and Charles Darwin and the survival of the fittest. And the government has figured out a way that they can make you feel guilty and get you to fund things that helps those who aren't fit. See, the left is confused because they say they're survival of the fittest, yet we have to help the We help have to help those who can't survive on their own. They're confused. What's that word? I have some words that get absolutely roadblock. And it's dissidence. That's what we're facing. The ability to look at a situation and understand it for what it is. Can anybody listening to this tell me why illegal immigrants' children get free education? Can anybody explain that to me? And
yes, I can
explain. Inner city black kids don't get free education. Why aren't we taking care of our own? See, Coach, inner city black kids do get education, not college education. And all these dreamers and all these illegals, they are robbing and stealing from your children. I came across an amazing statistic today. Probably don't know this. Vince, you can hold your ears if you want to. Only about 16% of the world is white. Did you know that? Only about 16%. And the more I began to think about that, that makes sense. Think about all those people in China and Indonesia and India. Only 16%. And as I've tried to explain to you in a nice way without it being called a racist, it's whiteness that's under attack. The white culture is what's under attack.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Vince.
Pro-white is not anti-black.
It isn't, brother. It isn't. Pro-white is not anti-black. It is not. It is not. And, you know, I could start a real discussion right now just even to get in what the Bible says about marrying within your own races. But see, as I showed yesterday, race is a made-up word. It's not really a made-up word, but it's a made-up idea made up by Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin is the one who said blacks were a race, right? Inferior races. We're not race. We're all this human race. We're different ethnicities and different culture. We're not different races. And whether you want to agree with this or not, you trace it back, Adam and Eve are our mother and father, all of us, right? So I want to veer today into the idea of fake science, because that's that's really where it is. Really, we're dealing with fake science. Evolution is fake science. It is not true. Now, have you noticed this? It's like global warming. They call me a evolution denier, global warming denier. And do you know how much government money goes into science research? And if you want to get a government grant, you have to make sure that the research that you do is going to support the positions of the government. I would like to see the government do this. Why doesn't the government fund research into whether or not there is really a God? Wouldn't that be good? Let's dump a lot of money. Rather than dumping all this research into prove there isn't a God, let's dump some money into, let's fund some scientists to do some research on to see if there is a God. I got a better one. Let's fund some research to see whether or not an unborn baby is a human being. Let's have the government fund some research on that. But see, they're not going to do that because the government is by its very nature atheistic. That was one of the things that made America unique in the beginning, is we were one nation under God, right? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. We had sitting at the top of our government, God. And somewhere along the line, we allowed him to be dethroned. And one of the things that they grabbed a hold of to dethrone him was evolution. And now, as we saw yesterday, through the research that I presented to you yesterday regarding evolution, we now know Charlie Darwin was a quack. Charlie Darwin, if Charlie Darwin came back today, he wouldn't agree. He wouldn't believe what he wouldn't believe his research. It was in the mid-1800s, for heaven's sake. We know it's not true. All the research that they've done, they've not found a missing link. They've not found transitional fossils. It's all bogus. But being taught to your children and your grandchildren as truth. Hey, Jared, I'm in Genesis 3. Anybody got a comment about yesterday before I wiggle into this one a little bit better?
Can I just say it was a fantastic show yesterday?
It's good. Yes, it was. A lot of truth there, wasn't it, Vince?
Absolutely.
Anybody else? Anybody ponder what we talked about yesterday and scratch your head and say, you know, I never looked at it this way or that way, and come to a new understanding. I'd love to hear from you.
Well, I think most of us on the queue agree with it. It's that those who are viewing it for the first time or hearing it for the first time, they need to be educated. That's all.
That's right.
Dave?
Yeah.
What intrigued me yesterday was when you put Margaret Sanger, Kinsey, and Darwin, and how was it that their philosophies defeated what would be argued was a stronger church? Why was there no pushback to defeat that? And I think my wife said that there was the people wanted to hear what they had to say just then, just like they do now.
I do. Remember, the scripture says that we would heap up for ourselves teachers having itching ears. We would seek after. See, Joel Osteen is judgment on America. Joel Osteen has a big church because people want to hear what he has to say. That's what they want to hear, see? They don't hear the truth. And so the devil, remember, two teams. There's only two teams. And the devil, he wants to be captain of both. He wants to be in charge. I'm in Genesis 3 here real quick. Quickly. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Are you sure that's what God said? And the woman said unto the serpent, well, we can eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And that old serpent said unto the woman, come on, you're not going to die. God knows that in the day that you eat that, then your eyes will be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. There it is, see? Started right away. It's hard to conceive of a time when man didn't know good and evil, when even Adam only knew good. But what it says was here, it only knew good. Did you go eat that apple? Now, we know it probably wasn't an apple. We don't even know if it was fruit. We don't even know what it was. Call it the tree of knowledge. But whatever it was, whatever that temptation was that Adam and Eve, that Eve's got her eye on, Adam had his eye on it too, by the way. Adam just let Eve go first. When, you know, she's like the food tester for Adam. When she ate it, nothing happened. Adam said, okay, what the heck, I'll do it too. He was standing right there with her, right? And so what would happen then is we opened up the knowledge of good and evil. And once the enemy got his foothold in the knowledge of good and evil, man, oh man, oh man, things began to happen. And so scientifically, we used to be able to trust in science. You guys remember the Scopes monkey trial? Probably don't, but I would. You have to remember this: that if you fight over the wrong premise, you're going to get the wrong answer, and that's what happened in the Scopes monkey trial. Maybe I'll get back to Clarence Darrow and that whole thing. Maybe we'll get into that someday. But see, it's going on again right now in America. Now, rather than an unmutable, unchanging principle, once they get us to move off that foundational principle, world's open to believe whatever you want to believe. Right? It's open to believe whatever you want. And once they've convinced us that, ask yourself this, fellas, how could the church possibly have permitted the ejection of God from government? How could we possibly have allowed that to happen? Knowing full well that that's what the devil wanted to do. How do you know that? Well, I know it very well because it's right here in Isaiah 14. Let's go there real quick, Jared. Hey, I'm going to Kinsey. Don't run away yet. I'm going to go get that deviant homo pervert. There you go, right wing watch. There you go. Go get that dude. Okay, so here we are. I'm in chapter 14, verse 12. Let's start right there. Wow. Wait a minute, Jared. Go back up there because it just jumped on me. We're so, wow. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and he'll will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. The people shall take them and bring them into the place, for the house of Israel shall possess the land of the Lord. for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from thy hard bondage wherein thou hast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. And he smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted, and none is hindered. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into swinging. But look at this. Verse 12. How art thou fallen, O heaven, from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? And how, for thou hast said in thy heart. Here you go. Here it is, boys and girls. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now notice, he didn't say he would be the Most High. He said he would be like the Most High, ruling and reigning in the halls of Congress, just like the Most High. Yeah, this guy is a coup that's taken place here. And sadly, the coup has been so subtle that the guardians of the temple, Israel's watchmen, are blind. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Loving to slumber, lying down. It's Isaiah 56:10. Let's go there, Jared, so you don't think I'm making it up. The five I wills. I will, 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 I will. I will have sex with whoever I want to. I will determine what sex I am. I will marry whoever I want to. I will steal whatever I want to. I will eat whatever I want to. I will do whatever I want to. I will be like the Most High. I won't be the Most High, but I will be like him. I'm going to be just like him. I'm going to make rules and regulations and make people follow them. And the difference between me and the Lord is I'm going to force people to do it, and the Lord's not going to, but I'm going to be just like him, only a little bit better. Exodus 56:10, Jared. Isaiah 56:10. Here it is, boys and girls. There it is. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yeah, they're greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain, from his own quarter. Come ye, say Joel Osteen and his crew, I'll get us some wine and we'll have a great service in here and everybody will be happy and we'll leave here, and then tomorrow is going to be just like this. It's just going to be better. So you can have your best life now. Started right there, Isaiah. Started in Isaiah. So we cannot be surprised at what we're not supposed to be ignorant of his devices. We're not supposed to be shocked by what the devil's doing, but we are. And now we wake up and we say, "What, God, what's happened to our land? How do we get that natural family back, JR? What are we supposed to do? How did this all happen to us?" Well, I'm going to show you some stuff here. So yesterday we opened up with what we called the unholy trinity. We talked about Darwin, Charlie Darwin, who was an atheist pervert as well. Margaret Sanger, follow the history of Margaret Sanger. She took Darwin's idea and she applied it to Planned Parenthood. Hey, folks, please don't miss this. This is all about destruction of the family. It all is. It's all about the destruction of it. And even though it wasn't a lie, the government, which, by the way, is a servant of state, and they want to be like the Most High, remember? They have taken Charlie Darwin's lying science, and they've made it the truth. And they go out and they fund research on evolution, billions and billions of dollars trying to prove evolution is true, and they still haven't proved it's true, but they teach your children that it's true in the school. We said, well, coach, we don't do that. We teach them about Noah's Ark when we have our Sunday school. Well, what do you do? They teach science, and you teach Bible story. And they've done an unbelievable coup on us. But see, Darwin saying, did you know this? Just going to show you how deeply ingrained this is in our culture. Did you know the American education system set up by Dewey, John Dewey? Did you know that the idea of, have you ever thought about this? First grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade. Did you know that that was all based on the evolutionary model? That all six-year-olds were capable of this. All seven-year-olds were capable of this. All eight-year-olds were capable of this. All nine-year-olds were capable of this. You know, I'm not going to brag. That little six-year-old granddaughter that I have that we're homeschooling, she's about seventh grade right now, right? The whole idea that everybody's equal and everybody's the same, let's get them all in the classroom, because we all know that through evolutionary process, all these little minds full of mush, they all learn at the same level. Now I'm going to shock you. You ready? How's your Sunday school set up? That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Because the church sucked in the educational model from John Dewey and applied it a little, put a little Christian salt on it, and they could have the same thing. You walk into a Christian school, what do you have? Well, you have first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth. Why? Who came up with that idea? Who told us that was the best? You see how subtly they've done this to us? Satan owns fake science. And that's why we have science worshipers. That's why we have all those idiots, the Leonardo DiCaprios and the Michael Moores worshiping fake science. They're not working at worshiping fake science. They're worshiping a false god. Let me call time out. Let somebody jump in here if you want to. Then I'm going to show you some stuff here on the homosexuals. There I said it. The deviant, homosexual, pedophile, perverted Alfred Kinsey. Anybody want to jump in? All right, you don't have to. Jump.
I know we've been pounding him for a couple of weeks. Most of it is justified, I believe. But I think, Dave, you got to remember also, he's not really a dumb guy. You know, now, come on. People want to hear is what he is preaching. He can pound the ministers, and I understand that. Many of them need to be pounded. But the flock, the people, the lay people, he gets 20,000 people there, is they want that.
Keeping up for themselves, teachers having itching ears. People seek him out, folks. They seek him out.
They don't want to hear that God is a God of wrath and judgment.
That's right.
They don't want to hear that love is confronting a fellow believer with truth. They just don't want to hear it. It's a bummer.
It is a bummer. And Joel Osteen is a product of the market. He's not the creator of it. You understand that, folks? You understand that the market produced him? He didn't produce the market. And when he opened up his doors, not just him, but many like him, and he opened up his doors, and he starts preaching the happy, 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 whatever his name, message. When he started doing the howdy-doody thing, people came because people wanted it, see? They wanted it. So Joel Osteen's only problem, and all those prosperity preachers, and all those, their only problem is they just gave the people what they wanted. That's all. That's why they're popular. Truth isn't very popular. We got the homosexual pervert on the screen there for you, Alfred Kinsey. He's the third. There he is. Look at that dude. He's the third of the unholy Trinity. Let me give you a little bit of background. I've done some research on some intensive research on this, half for several years. Judith Raisman wrote a book called Kinsey Revealed, I think was the name of it. I might have that over there, Jared. And found out that Alfred Kinsey, who was a pedophile, homosexual, deviant dude, scientist, his research was fraudulent. And we'll get into that here in a minute. I'll show you some proof of it. His research was fraudulent. But what happened is Kinsey came onto the scene right after the Second World War. Sexual Behavior in Human Male, I think it was the name of his book. I can't remember exactly what it was. Kinsey had supposedly, he was at Indiana University, had supposedly done all this research on the sexual behaviors of men and women. Sexual behavior in the human male. Maybe you can find that for me, Jared. It flips my brain. Doesn't matter. And so Kinsey releases this earth-shaking evidence about about women. Everybody's doing it, Alfred Kinsey told us. Everybody's doing it. You'd have to lock up everybody. And so everybody says, well, if everybody's doing it, I'm missing out on a little bit of this. I'd be getting some on the side. Well, Kinsey says she's doing it, and I'm doing it, and we all want to do it. And in the bonds of the family structure set up by Almighty God, the seed was planted to destroy the family. To destroy the family. Exactly. By the lying, homosexual, pervert, pedophile, Alfred Kinsey. Go ahead and play that, Jared. Taught in our schools. You know that today's sex education is based on the work carried out by a man named Alfred Kinsey in the 40s and 50s. I thought this had audio to it. Let's get in and see if it doesn't. If not, I'll read them to you. You never heard of him? It says on the screen. There's a picture of him. Kinsey, the father of the sexual revolution. Let me first tell you the conclusions Kinsey came to after his studies. Children are sexually and potentially orgasmic from birth. Kinsey tells us this. 10 to 36% of men are homosexual. Homosexuality, incest, rape, pedophilia, and even bestiality are normal. And 95% of men engage in these behaviors. Stop a minute, Jared. Kinsey research was with sexual deviants. Go ahead. Sex education in your school today. Children, or 40% of married women are having affairs. 25% of married women are having abortions. This is in 46! Adults who use children for sex outlets were quite normal, Kinsey concluded. You can let it play, Jared. I think I can keep up with it. Now let's look at the sample group that Kinsey portrayed as your average American man and woman. Prison inmates, many of whom were jailed for sexual crime. Several hundred male prostitutes were the people he researched and questioned. To collect data from married women, he broadened the definition of married to include any man who lived with a woman for a year, including prostitutes who lived with pimps. Dr. Paul Gebhard, Kinsey co-author, states on camera that Kinsey team solicited child abusers and obtained child sexuality data from pedophiles as well as from pedophile organizations. How was his research carried out? By using a stopwatch to time physical responses from children while pedophiles raped and molested them. Babies were also used, some as young as 5 months old. Teaching this in your school today, sexual revolution. Was there an outrage at the finding of Kinsey and how he obtained them? No, quite the opposite. Kinsey became a household name. Educators toasted his brilliance. Commentary books were published examining his work and touting his findings. And clergymen agree with his conclusions and change their attitudes and behaviors accordingly. In 1960, the Kinsey Institute partnered with Planned Parenthood, the goal being to incorporate Kinsey's philosophy into sex education materials for children. One of the changes that came about due to Kinsey's work was the lowering of sentences for those who commit sex crimes, even those against children, because according to Kinsey, children are unharmed by incest and adult child sex and often benefit from such activity. How could this have happened in the name of science? I just told you how! It happened like most things which are vile in this world by rich men funding and managing it. In this case, the Rockefellers. Tinfoil hat! Even today, with all the information available on this vile human being, his research is still held up as an authority. In April 2014, the UK granted the Kinsey Institute ECOSC accreditation. And when I look around at the screwed up society that I live in today, I despair, and I see that rich men have achieved their goals to break down the family in society. Why? Because nothing is stronger than a united family community. They know this. We've just forgotten. There you are, man. There you are. Now, if you've not read Judith Reisman's book, did I link that today, Jared? I don't know if I did or not. No, I didn't. I didn't. Daggone it. Hey, Jared, if you go back, hey, guys, let's ask ourselves this. What's the purpose of sex? Is the purpose of sex procreation? Is the purpose of sex enjoyment? See, we call that sex purely for enjoyment. It's called hedonism. It's hedonistic. Hedonistic meaning just absolutely satisfying the flesh. And so we look across the spectrum of America, and what do we see on TV? We see on TV the influx of all these hedonistic behaviors that they're programming our children that are normal. Anybody out there besides me remember PG-13? What did PG-13 used to mean, Roger? Do you remember that? What was PG-13?
Parental guidance.
Parental guidance. Wow, meaning what? Hey, mom and dad, you better take your kid before you watch that. You better take them. Don't let them go alone. Well, there ain't no families anymore, so there ain't no parental guidance, right? And then, of course, what happened there? Well, the board that determined the ratings, the PG and the R and all that, well, that got infiltrated and those standards changed. And now PG-13 doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Because why? Sex is simply for pleasure. I got a video. I'm not going to take the time to show it, where some guy went out on the street and he asked people, is there anything that a person can do with their sex organs that is not normal? And it shows people thinking about it. What do you think they're responsible? Well, if I can put it there, it must be okay. That's the results of Alfred Kinsey. That's what Kinsey's given us. Jump in here real quick.
Hollywood's completely bereft of ideas. All they do is regurgitate old successes that might have been barely successes. And we're all talking about stupid comic book movies.
But Vince, it's more devious than that, right? Who controls Hollywood? Well, we know who controls Hollywood.
Indeed.
Right. Who controls government? Don't miss it now. Remember, I will be like God. Not I will be God. I'll be like God, knowing good from evil. So the enemy knows good from evil. He understands it. But the sexual revolution in America was launched by a pervert, a sexual deviant pervert named Alfred Kinsey. And isn't it amazing that still today we don't refute it? Have you noticed how hard the scientists work to disprove the Bible? They go after that 24/7 to disprove the Bible. And look at what... Look what they call truth. They're teaching our children. Yeah, George, I hear you out there. You're mute. George, you're muted.
Coach, I would say, see if you guys agree with this, but I would say the majority of people in America that call themselves Christians' behavior is normal today. They may not engage in it, but they would think it's normal and they won't speak out against it.
Amen. 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 And so what happened to it, see, Kinsey's research, Kinsey's research crept in, and we all began. You go into church and you look around and say, half of these women are dinging on the side? Maybe I'm missing out here on something. And since half of the women are dinging it on the side, well, maybe we should stop talking about that, because we don't really want to hurt anybody's feelings here, and we don't want to expose anything. So let's just quit preaching against that marriage thing, that adultery. Let's stop doing that. Let's stop doing it. And then it just slides down that slippery slope a little bit more. So, oh, you mean 26%, according to Kennedy, as up to as many as 26% of them are homosexual? Well, we shouldn't be so judgmental. Maybe I ought to try it. Try it. You'll like it. They cut you crazy. Well, maybe I am. But the point I'm trying to help all of us see is the unholy trinity. They're all three connected. Dudes, Kinsey said men are just animals. They're just animals. There's no morality. Destroy morality. Tune in, turn on, drop out the sexual revolution of the 1960s. Whose kids were it? Was it? Whose children were? It was Eddie's. It was my dad's generation who produced these kids. And all of a sudden, all this sex, they weren't prepared for it. They hadn't grown up like that. The parents, they had been grown up to, oh my goodness. Mom and dad stayed married. Family stayed together. The 60s hit free love, Woodstock, tune in. Do it. If it feels good, do it. Why don't we do it in the road? Make love, not war. Can't we see the connection between Kinsey's book and what happened in the 60s to where we are in the 2017s? And I guarantee you, your church and your pastor has been impacted by this. His preaching of the word has been impacted by this, to the point that over 50%, probably higher, of pastors are hooked on porn and aren't even afraid to step in the pulpit the next day and preach. That ought to tell you something right there, buddy. Watch pornography Saturday night and preach in the pulpit on Sunday, huh? Why? Hey, everybody does it. It's a booming industry. Yep. Yeah, maybe it's dirty. Yeah, it might be a little bit dirty, but everybody's doing it. Kinsey told us everybody's doing it. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, there's a remnant of us out here, brother, that have no problem with preaching against it. And so here's to anybody and to any pastor out there who might be listening, or to your pastor. Tell them to do a Greek word study on the word fornication. The Greek word fornication is porneo, where we get pornography. So to sit there and say, oh, no, that's not, you know. No, when you're engaging in pornography, that's fornication. You're engaging in something that God says will not inherit the kingdom of heaven.
Pastor Dale, he said if you do it in your heart, if you even do it, what the heck do you think pornography is? It's adultery in your heart. And then you crawl in bed with your wife, you've taken another woman into bed with you.
Hey, brother, can I really get real, like, just graphic on this just for a second? Because sure, I'll teach this in men's groups. Of course, my wife is looking over at me. Oh no, what is he about to say? Right. I said, listen, men, if you're pleasing yourself through your fornication act, which you're now fornicating into pornography, who are you doing it with? Aren't you doing it with a man? Now that's a homosexual engagement.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
That's normally the response I get. The man goes, oh Lord, thinking about it. But hey, okay, so tell me I'm lying then.
Amen. See, fellas, look, here it is. Look. JR says this often. We teach kids that they came from apes. We can't be surprised when they act like monkeys. See, we no longer, the average Christian doesn't even understand that we're three parts. Mind, soul, and body. Mind, soul, I'm sorry. Body, soul, and spirit. We don't even understand that. We don't understand that sex in its most holy institution is a spiritual act of the soul. It's not a flesh-pleasing act that we engage in. Because we don't even teach children that they have a soul with a mind and a will and an emotion. And that there is such a thing as giving your heart to somebody. And the idea that, I'll never forget Rusty Thomas telling me after his first wife, Liz, passed away from cancer. He said the tearing, maybe somebody has experienced this. Someone who really loved their wife and then she died. He said it was almost like a tearing. It was like, he said he couldn't explain it, how the two of them had become one. And that tearing apart, I think about that with my wife, what an experience that would be like. And see, we're not talking about the intimate soul bond of sex. We don't teach that anymore. Why? Because there isn't a God. There is no God. We're not allowed to teach. So therefore, are we surprised that these little children act like animals? No spiritual connection at all to the sex act. And we're finding out more and more research about really what that whole thing's about. JR, jump in here a minute. What do you think? I got one for you. I got time. I got time here. Are you there, JR? Are you out for a walk? Can't hear you. I see you there.
I like it when you play my song, the Natural Family Song. It's music to my ears.
Yeah.
And it's really astounding that the studies that Kinsey took were not of the average citizen.
Not even.
And we still don't know that. But then again, today, that might be the average citizen. So I guess what difference does it make?
Amen. Amen. Did you guys know this? I know you probably didn't. That's why I'm going to tell you this. Did you know that it wasn't until, hey, Jared, go down to very bottom. Two things I got to show you guys before we get out of here. Griswold. Did you ever hear the Griswold decision? Anybody ever hear of it? Probably didn't.
Yeah.
But let's get the Griswold decision up there, because you know what the Griswold decision was? Folks, did you know up until the 1960s, birth control was against the law? See, Catholics had it right. Catholics had that aspect of it right. Because if you take out of the sexual relationship the possibility of creation, it's just hedonistic. Sex at that point just becomes hedonistic. You understand? And so what did the Griswold, the Supreme Court decision, Griswold decriminalizing contraception? What did Griswold do? So remember this, the courts always move society. The courts were, atheistic courts are always a little bit ahead of them. So whatever they legalize, you get more of. You legalize divorce, you get more of it. You legalize sodomy, you get more of it. You legalize abortion, you get more of it. Some people are still restrained by something being unlawful. So here's a quick 4-minute clip on Griswold and the in my lifetime, birth control was a crime. In my lifetime. And as soon as you take away the possibility of a girl getting pregnant, all of a sudden she loses her sense of value very, very quickly. Play that, Jared. Griswold.
In Griswold versus Connecticut, the Planned Parenthood League of Connecticut's executive director, Griswold, and one of its doctors, Buxton, were arrested and charged under a Connecticut law that forbade the use of contraceptives by anyone.
I'm muted, Jared. I can't hear it.
And penalize those who provided information about contraceptives. Griswold and Buxton were found guilty as accessories and fined $100. Griswold and Buxton fought the convictions, alleging that the Connecticut laws violated their right to due process under the 14th Amendment.
There it is. Hey, hang on a minute, Jared. Yep. There it is again, that 14th Amendment. We talked about it before. They've used the 14th Amendment, the free exercise clause, I'll get it. They've used that to overturn every natural behavior in the world, the 14th Amendment. Go ahead, Jared.
The appellate division of the circuit court affirmed their convictions, as did the Connecticut Supreme Court of Errors. Griswold and Buxton appealed to the United States Supreme Court. The Supreme Court found the Connecticut law unconstitutional and reversed the convictions. Justice Douglas, writing for the majority, held that there's a right to privacy implied throughout various provisions of the Bill of Rights,
heading towards abortion,
even
heading
in the towards abortion. Of specific language right addressing privacy. Douglas pointed to the penumbras and emanations of constitutional protections, such as the right to assemble in the First Amendment, the Third Amendment's requirement for consent before quartering soldiers in private citizens' homes, the Fourth Amendment's recognition of people's right to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures, the Fifth Amendment's right against self-incrimination, and the Ninth Amendment's direction that the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. The court found that this zone of privacy should extend to intimacies between married people, including the use of contraception, and that those relations should be protected from governmental intrusion.
Kinsey!
Three justices filed concurring opinions, and two dissented. Justice Goldberg argued in his concurrence that the right to privacy in marriage is so fundamental that allowing its infringement because privacy is not specifically addressed in the previous eight amendments is to ignore the Ninth Amendment altogether. Goldberg rejected this reading of the text on the basis of the court's holding in Marbury v. Madison that, quote, every clause must be given effect, unquote. Justice Harlan's concurrence found support for married people's right to use contraceptives in the Due Process Clause. He disapproved of the majority's willingness to look beyond established law and infer a new right of privacy,
which he viewed
as inappropriate judicial activism. Justice White concurred that the Connecticut law deprived married couples of liberty without due process of law. White further found the law so excessively broad beyond its stated purpose, that is, prevention of adultery and fornication, that it was unconstitutional. Justice Black dissented because he refused to read in a right to privacy that was not in the text of the Constitution. Justice Stewart criticized the Connecticut law as uncommonly silly, but believed that legislative change should be addressed only through elected representatives.
Wow!
This is a landmark case because the court recognized a constitutionally protected right to privacy. The Supreme Court also relied on Griswold in subsequent reproductive rights cases. In Eisenstadt v. Baird, the court extended privacy protections to unmarried people seeking contraceptives. The right to privacy identified in Griswold similarly served as a foundation for Roe v. Wade, which removed some restrictions on abortion. If you found this video helpful...
Okay, Jared. See, folks, can you make a connection? Can you see that the job of the devil has been the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman? There will be enmity between his seed and her seed. Can you not see that going back here with the right to privacy and Kinsey's research, the attack on the seed, children are a heritage of the Lord. And what was it in Griswold? Married couples wanted to be able to use birth control. And up to that point, before Kinsey, this is only 13 years after Kinsey, the court says, well, okay, I guess if they want to just do it like little rabbits and not have any consequences to it, okay. Okay by me, there's a right to privacy. That led to Roe v. Wade, led all the way down, all tying back Alfred Kinsey. Anybody want to jump in? Got a few messages.
I sure do.
It's the same thing that we've done in the church. We take text out of context and look what happens with the word. We manipulate the word. And these men actually have done the same thing. They've actually took the Constitution when written meant something, then they actually used it and perverted it. They took the text out of context and opened it up to be whatever they wanted it to be is what they did. They passed it off for strength.
Did the founders really say... They just changed, didn't they? They just changed it.
Well, let me put it to you. Here's a simple illustration. In the founding days, in the writing of the Constitution, a man caught in the act of homosexuality that was punishable of death, and they hung him. That's what they did. That might seem mean, but I'm just telling you, that was their take on it. Now, how did we go from that? You know, it's the same thing. The First Amendment, it's a freedom of speech. That doesn't mean I get to run into a theater and yell fire. See, it's not the freedom of any speech, but these men have done that, and they've used this to cast off restraints, and churches do it with the word of God. That's why that's don't judge me mentality has come from.
Okay, so folks, help me out here. I'm just asking a question, Right Wing Watch. Maybe you can help me. How do we go from the death penalty for homosexuals to them being married? What happened? Now, hang on. The Bible says the death penalty. I'm not advocating the death of homosexuals. If Right Wing Watch, if you don't get that right, I'm going to sue you. How did we get that, folks? How did that happen? Well, it started with Alfred Kinsey. Now, you know what else happened? JR, you ready? Because marriage was an institution whereby a family, remember holy matrimony, holy matrimatre, mother, money to make. Holy matrimony was a process whereby God granted a woman a right to be a mother, matre moni. Start shacking up. Divorce. Did you know that divorce was against the law? That you couldn't just get a divorce for no reason. That was given to us by Commandant Ronald Reagan, no-fault divorce. And since no-fault divorce has come onto the scene, you get more divorce or less. When there was a time when you couldn't get a divorce because you made a covenant. You signed a paper. You swore an oath. And we believed in holding oath. But now, thanks to Kinsey, well, everybody does. Even those people that are married, 40% of them, they're out fooling around. That's just the women. Who knows what the men are doing? And by the way, a lot of those guys deep inside their heart, they wish they had a man. Really, if you really knew it. And now our culture reflects the lies of Kinsey. Our culture reflects the lies of Darwin. Our culture reflects the lies of Sanger, the unholy trinity. All of them an assault and an attack on God, life, and morality. All of them. What's the purpose of the salt of the earth? Salt loses its savor, henceforth good for nothing, except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. That's where we are.
Hey, Dave.
Help me wrap it up here. Help me wrap it up here, boys. Yes.
Well, I just want to mention one thing. You know, we often sit around and think about the fact that you can't legislate morality. But I'm going to tell you what, when you look at the last 60 years, we have legislated an awful lot of immorality.
You can legislate immorality, can't you? You can legislate right. Immorality.
Absolutely. It is run rampant. We need to start and legislate morality. We need to start and set the laws up that says that these things are illegal. The immoral acts are illegal, and then make sure that we punish the people for it. It's just like setting up a law that says you can't speed. That's the moral thing to do. People mm-hmm. disregard that law and they're punished for it. We need to start and legislate morality in this nation, or we're sunk.
See, we're confusing liberty with licentiousness. Liberty is the freedom to do the right thing. That's liberty. Licentiousness is the liberty to do the wrong thing. Those turn out the same. You never, listen, the Declaration of Independence grants unalienable rights. There are no inalienable wrongs. You do not have the right to do wrong. You don't have it. God didn't give us the right to do wrong. He gave Amen. Us the right to do right, not the right to do wrong. Jared looked up licentious. It says what? Promiscuous and unprincipled in sexual matters. Hey, there you are. Thank you, Dr. Kinsey. Hero Dr. Alfred Kinsey, pedophile. Can you imagine filming little boys being masturbated on, timing it with a stopwatch to come up with behavior? Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Coach.
George.
Hey, I just feel in my heart this morning, I think there's people listening to your show, men, women, probably mostly men, that they're struggling with some of these issues, their sexuality, not. And here's the good news. You know, even though we lived in a totally screwed up society that's been largely taken over by the enemy, hey, here's the good news. When you live for Jesus and you truly walk in his ways, you now have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead living on the inside of you. And he's going to give you the power to overcome all these sexual deviant Amen. Temptations. And you know, that's really what it's all about. It's because I'll just say this. I bet every man on the queue, if they were honest, at one point in their life, they struggled with sexual temptation Probably in some form do. Or fashion. Okay, so, but you know, here's the good news, because I've seen what's happened in my own life. Jesus Christ, the power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you, and you will overcome if you obey and stay obedient and in God's word.
Amen.
You have the power to say no to sin. Good word, George. Here's my issue. We don't even teach it anymore. We don't even teach the ability to say no. We don't even teach right and wrong. We don't even teach stay married. We don't even teach don't sleep with somebody before you're married. And why, how's that happened? Because of the unholy trinity of Charlie Darwin, Margaret Sanger, and Alfred Kinsey. Man, oh man. God bless you. We'll see you all tomorrow for Branson. I forgot to say that I was going to talk about it. We're going to Branson, Missouri. Steve Quayle's Gen 6 conference. They're streaming it online. You can go online and stream it and watch it. And we're going to be there promoting the Salt and Light Brigade and trying to find some more men who are willing to stand up and fight back against everything that's going on in America. Got to run this one. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow morning.